Today, Donald Trump told the New York Times in a phone interview that the investigation into Russians' hacking of the U.S. election is a political witch hunt. This was this morning, just hours before his scheduled meeting today with the intelligence officials behind that investigation.
And also this morning, Trump tweeted the U.S. might initially have to pay for that Great Wall on the border before Mexico does. And the president-elect got into a Twitter spat with the new Celebrity Apprentice host Arnold Schwarzenegger. Trump tweeted, "I'm a ratings machine," the Terminator responded, "I hope you work for all Americans as much as you worked for your ratings."
It could be a new reality show when reality show hosts fight and one of them is president. Let's bring in our roundtable for a look at the week. April Ryan is White House correspondent for American Urban Radio Networks and author of the new book, At Mama's Knee, Mothers and Race in Black and White. April, welcome back.
It's great to be back, especially with all of this stuff going on.
I know. Rebecca Cinderbrand, managing editor of The Fix at The Washington Post. I know you have a lot you've been thinking about as well. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
And April, you start. We had those extraordinary hearings yesterday, the intelligence officials speaking to Congress, and Republicans seeming to speak to Trump through these top intelligence officers who were testifying. In effect, telling Trump, you know, this hacking was real. It could have happened to Republicans. Julian Assange, who leaked the hacked material, is not your friend. Your thoughts on where we are?
It's a very interesting time. As a reporter, we've never seen anything like this. To have a president-elect come in basically challenging the intelligence community of this nation. Not only that, I mean, yes, we know that the intelligence that this country has is not always as accurate as you would like. Some of it may be faulty, but guess what? They've been doing it for a long time, and they've had some successes, and yes, some things may not have gone as planned, but for a sitting, for someone coming in to be the next sitting president, it does not bode well for him in that office, as well as give confidence to the broader community, the nation, when he's questioning our own intelligence officials.
But, Rebecca, I mean, not one Republican backed him up, although some did point out, and it is true that some of these committees were formed after 9/11. That was considered, it was missed by the intelligence community. There was, of course, the false reports of weapons of mass destruction in the lead into the Iraq War. But do you think that Donald Trump is going to reconfigure the intelligence world as he said he would?
You know, it's going to be very interesting to see right now, particularly when you're looking at the Republican foreign policy establishment and intelligence advisors. There are people who are backing away that Donald Trump desperately needs in his corner. You have, of course, James Woolsey leaving the transition team, the former director of the CIA. That was someone who had given a bit of public weight to Donald Trump's views on the intelligence community. And to have him gone and leaving in what seems to be a pretty dramatic fashion, leaving very publicly and suddenly isn't great news for Donald Trump. We have to, of course, note that Trump's campaign, Trump's transition committee denies that he has these plans at this moment. Then again, you have to say it's very convenient to have a story like that, the idea circulating right now, to have that in the minds of the intelligence community, that this is a possibility, whether or not it's something that's actually being weighed.
Hmm. Well, let's talk for a moment about all the change that's going on in Washington now between administrations as we're going through the transition. Because this week we also heard from President Obama. He's giving his sort of last speeches here. Here he is thanking the U.S. military.
"Of all the privileges of this office, and there are many, I will miss Air Force One, I will miss Marine One. But I can stand before you today and say that there has been no greater privilege and no greater honor than serving as the commander-in-chief of the greatest military in the history of the world."
So President Obama there giving his final salute, so to speak, as commander-in-chief to the U.S. military. We also see today, though, that the Trump transition team isn't wasting any time. They told U.S., quote, political ambassadors today that they had to resign by Inauguration Day. So, I mean, April, tell us, I mean, how is this transition going?
It's interesting. We've never seen a transition like this. And let's start with one piece. I've covered this White House. It'll be 20 years, January 13th, next week. And I've seen several transitions and never, in some of the worst times, we've never seen the dignity of a president or an administration on the table or in question. And now and the president-elect kind of takes their time in doing things or lets them finish out, lets the president finish out their term. And President Obama is president until 12 noon, January 20th, 2017. And it looks like, you know, things are moving as if Donald Trump were president right now. And it's very interesting. And there's still some agencies that I'm hearing from that have yet to hear from people in the transition. But there are articles in place and laws now that are in place that even if they have not heard from someone, there is a paperwork trail to be able to follow, to be able to help assist in a smooth transition to keep the democracy going. This is a very interesting and unprecedented time.
Well, Rebecca, April points out rightly that, as many have said, Donald Trump is, we almost have two presidents right now. And in the past, it's always been that the president-elect kind of waits and organizes his administration before speaking out as much as this one has. But then you have on PBS NewsHour, Vice President Joe Biden saying that Trump should grow up. Is that side of the equation demeaning itself in that as well, or?
Well, we're starting to see a few cracks starting to form in the kind of, you know, the united front. We had this great moment very early in the transition, President Obama kind of saying he would do everything he can to make Trump a successful president, Trump offering praise for President Obama. And of course, you've seen that start to break down. It seems almost inevitable. And particularly, President Obama has been raising questions, of course, about Trump's processing of the intelligence about the Russian hack. And so he's been saying he hopes that Trump reconsiders. Trump, of course, has increasingly doubled down on his position.
Well, you know, can I step in for
sure.
1 second? I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg scenario, really.
Right.
I believe that this president has done and is still trying to keep a smooth transition. But it's kind of hard to have a smooth transition when you the president-elect is calling him for advice and then tweeting out, I don't like this and I don't like that. And as a sitting president, and you're worried about your legacy and you're worried about the things that you're doing to keep a straight face. I mean, I've heard that, you know, when Donald Trump calls, you know, we're doing good. You know, you're doing a great job. We thank you for this. And then in the same breath on Twitter, he'll say something else. It's kind of hard. I think the breakdown may be from the other side, not necessarily from President Obama. He's now starting to respond, but it's kind of a chicken or egg situation.
Well, and of course, Trump followers were really upset when President Obama said in that interview that he thought he might have won this election. That was that felt like a slap in their face. But I talk about the Twitter presidency that we are about to be in.
The Twitter.
An incoming White House Press Secretary, Sean Spicer, told former Obama advisor David Axelrod at an event this week that when he gets up in the morning, he doesn't even know. You know, Trump's tweets are news to him, too.
I do truly look at it as an exciting piece of the job where you're looking up.
There's no doubt it's exciting.
and it adds an element where you know that he can drive something, drive a message and influence people in a way that that hasn't done before. And I think Obama did some.
Rebecca Sinderbrand, take that, because his followers would say, you know, after Trump tweeted criticism of General Motors for making cars in Mexico, Ford announced it would invest in a plant in Michigan instead of moving jobs to Mexico. Does Sean Spicer have a point? Maybe that is the way we operate from here on out.
Well, it's as he noted, it's going to be very exciting by whatever definition of the word you want to use.
But is it effective?
Well, and that's the question. You have this situation now, which those of us who've been covering Washington for a long time have not seen before, where you get a message from the president-elect's team, and you cannot be certain that that is actually the official message. The president-elect could come out and say something completely different, and has several times contradicted what his aides have had to say. And so it's very difficult to get a coherent message out when it's fractured. The other issue is, of course, he seems to have a flood the zone approach when it comes to news management. You know, he comes out in the morning and does a flurry of tweets this morning, half a dozen different topics, wildly disparate, including The Apprentice. And so, you know, that's something where if you are an administration that is trying to get a comprehensive single message out and you want to own a news cycle, it's not clear that that's a particularly effective method. He'd have to fundamentally reconfigure the way he approaches the news cycle.
Well, tweets aren't policy, and others have pointed that out. A few jobs here and there are not, you know, making up for the thousands that we need to have.
And there needs to be a secretary of damage control, Twitter damage control, because you never know. I mean, this man is going to be president of the United States, and he goes out and greets the American people first thing in the morning. Oh, let me check my tweet from the president. And it could be something just totally outside of the bounds, and you just don't know. And I mean, this is something, it's no filter. He's going straight to the American public, and it's sad that his own staff, own cabinet, they won't know what he thinks when he does it.
Well, Rebecca, in the last couple seconds we have, January 20th is fast approaching, but Republican Governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, said he's not going to attend the inauguration. Quick thoughts.
It'll be interesting to see who shows up and who doesn't. Of course, two of the most visible faces at that inauguration, Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yes. April Ryan, White House correspondent for American Urban Radio Networks, author of the new book At Mama's Knee, Mothers and Race in Black and White. And that was Rebecca Cinderbrand wrapping us up, managing editor of The Fix at The Washington Post. Boy, I don't think it's ever been this exciting in this time between the election and inauguration. April, Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you.